gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 59 for New Comic Book Day, June 7th, 2017. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along here with me in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hey, everybody. We remodeled a little bit, but we'll get to that later on tonight.
Oh, yeah, we got some good stuff about that. Anybody
good
saw
story.
Facebook Live last night saw where we got the new poster. So we're going to have to get some pictures. We could live down here and take some pictures for some new ones for the Facebook page so people can get a new, of the rearranged a little bit, Hall of Justice.
And it's good. This is authentic. This is going to have a good story behind it, and we'll tell you guys a little bit later, but we were really lucky to get this thing.
Oh, yeah. We've actually got four comics for review today because it was a little late news week, but it seemed like it was a heavy comic week with
very heavy comic
week. Yeah.
Storyline
and comics.
DC has everything planned out.
Oh yeah,
TV shows die down.
Well, last summer, remember they did the same thing. It seemed like all the stories ramped up and got thicker and heavier when they had less TV.
Mm-hmm. I love that about them. They plan stuff out really well.
And we're not going to do much Gotham this week, but next week is after the season finale. I believe is next week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That,
so you're
going
to have to talk
shows.
About this because. You already know Ra's al Ghul is coming.
Yes.
And I forgot who's actually playing Ra's al Ghul. This guy is going to be awesome.
I forgot who's playing Ra's al Ghul.
Do you know the name Alexander Siddig?
That sounds familiar. I think we covered this.
Do you remember Star Trek the next or Deep Space Nine?
Not really.
The doctor on Deep Space Nine is Dr. Bashir. He's Alexander Siddig. That's who's actually playing Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
He's been in all kinds of stuff since then.
Okay. And we did cover something like this earlier a while ago.
Yeah, we said that he was coming and stuff, so I don't think we covered that he was Ra's. We just knew he was coming.
Okay.
So, because the whole stuff about Ra's al Ghul coming, I was actually surprised because the CW has used him so much. I'm surprised that Gotham's using him also.
Hey, he's everywhere, I guess, in the DC world.
Yeah. So, but other than that, we do have, there's some slight spoilers on next year's Supergirl and Flash. We'll let you know right before we say anything about that in case anybody wants to jump ahead. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. and then we actually got a rumor mill story, because...
We got a lot. Yeah, this is pretty, this is pretty cool.
Some of these are really good rumors. Some of them are a little weird. I don't know. And then, like I said, we got all the comic reviews, all your previews, and you never know where we're going to go to from there.
We never know.
So, let's start off with, spoiler alert, if you guys are trying to not, see what's happening for next year's Supergirl and Flash... because they actually announced who the big bads were. What?
Go check.
Oh, okay. They announced it. So if you don't want to know who's in the pod on Supergirl again, or who's actually or who the villain's going to be in Flash, which is really not a surprise at all.
But
then, skip ahead about 10-15 minutes or so.
And stay off the internet, too, guys, if you don't want to know.
Over everywhere.
So it's not just us trying to spoil it for you. Yeah. They put it out, sadly.
The CW did this again last year, too.
Yeah.
They gave us the whole idea of who's in the pod. Well, they did that to us this year. And last year, they let us know it was Mon-El. This year, now they've let us know again who's in the pod. And this is a character I'm not familiar with too much.
I'm not too familiar with them either.
But you looked her up.
Yeah. I have a background on her, and we'll tell you guys about it. But unless you're a big reader of New 52 or you knew anything about what was going on with the New 52... She'll be new to you, too.
Yeah. Well, this was... the actress is Odette Annabelle, and she's actually coming on to play a character called Rain, which was a villain from the New 52. And it says here, the character of Rain was created by Michael Green and Mahmoud Azrar. She was taken by Kryptonian scientists when she was just an infant and experimented on. And they gave her abilities, which turned her into the tragic world-killing villain, Rain.
Yeah, and she's also was a part of a team, too, of the World Killers, and that consists of... Oh, there goes my internet.
Okay. You brought up everything from Comic Vine.
Mm-hmm, but she is on a team, and I guess they were just villains to the Kryptonians. They didn't like them. They were scientists, and they were researching a facility on Krypton. Her and Rain and her fellow aliens were improved to be the best and the greatest power throughout Kryptonian science to make them the world killers of old. Rain and the three other world killers awoke to find that the space station survived the damage with no one alive and the fifth world killer missing. They made their entire quest to find their home world, and using the data from the space station they found, a trial led them to Earth, and this is where they came into contact with Supergirl and everybody else.
Okay.
Ah, I just got kicked off Facebook Live.
Uh-oh. Well,
but I think that was just my phone.
I'm still in there.
But that's okay.
But, yeah, that's... So, Rain is coming. I don't know. Like I said, this is a... And you said she's only
been
in...
No, kicked me out, too.
She's only been in a certain amount of episodes, right?
Yeah, well, she was only in 4 issues. So, she hasn't had a lot of appearances. Oh, wait. They say now Rain has appeared in 13 issues. Okay. She appeared 5 times in Supergirl, 2 times in Superman, DC Universe, 2 appearances, and then another Supergirl Last Daughter of Krypton appearance.
Okay, so, well, we'll see.
Not too many.
There is... Who was it? Andrew Kreisberg actually had a quote on here talking about casting Annabelle for this role. And he says, Greg Berlanti and I have wanted to work with Odette, or not Annabelle, Odette was actually her first name, have been wanting to work with Odette for years. We are beyond excited to have her join our cast with the scary, powerful, and heartbreaking role of Rain. So, other than that, I don't know. We've, like you said, you looked her up, and it looks like it's someone, and we know it's someone brand new for the New 52. So if you didn't read New 52 Supergirl, you're not the only person who doesn't know who she is. So, and then over on Flash, just like I said, this is really no big surprise to anybody who was paying attention, because he got name dropped 3 or 4 times during the end of the show.
The last 6 episodes of
Savitar
season 3.
Kept mentioning, you've never met this guy yet. And so we found out that, what's his name? DeVoe. Remember
Clifford
they mentioned
DeVoe.
Clifford DeVoe. They mentioned him 2 or 3 times. He's the thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he doesn't have a huge role in comics either yet,
no,
that I know of. But it's another one they're pulling out of a little bit out of obscurity to put him on the show, which is good. That means they can do whatever they want. A lot of different
things. And that can make him bigger for the Rebirth comic books. We might see appearance from him there.
Mm-hmm. And this one's still officially a rumor. But they've name dropped this guy so many times, that, and they've already said that you're not getting a speedster for the big bad for this season.
And people have been trying to figure out who is. And I remember the Thinker being one of the few people, because if you, as we said, if you guys are watching the show and paying attention to it, a little name drop, people would go Google it and try to figure out who's the Thinker. It's like, oh, this guy. Don't know too much about him, but well, looks like we're going to get him to be the main villain.
That, and if DC keeps up the trend of what they've been doing, we're going to see more of Rain and DeVoe in the comic books sometime soon in the next 6 months or so.
Yep.
So that everybody knows who they are. But that's the major spoilers. Anybody who jumped away, hopefully they come back. But after that, really, like I said, it was a light news week a little bit. After all the big news we've been getting, and there's been a lot of stuff about Wonder Woman out.
Oh, yeah. But that's the biggest thing, I think, why we got so much light news this week.
Yeah. We're actually recording this on Friday night. So most of the Wonder Woman returns and stuff aren't out yet. I know we did get... they said they're estimated... 18 to 20 million on preview night.
Yep.
And they're looking at it probably right around $100 million opening weekend.
I think they made 18 million, at least 11 million already. Yeah. I know that.
Well, I saw 18 was the number I saw. So, but I know they're looking at probably close to a $100 million opening weekend, which is a little light for summer blockbuster. But, and it is the lowest of all the DC movies. But it is the largest opening weekend for a female led and female directed movie.
Yes, this has already made history.
So
shouts out to Patty Jenkins. She did a really good job.
And Gal Gadot.
But now this was the first biggest box off or opening night for a female director. So she did really well with this movie. And guys, you gotta go see the film. We'll get more into that.
Well, actually, it's time to get into
it. Is it time to get into it? All right, then let's. And, guys, we're gonna crack this open. We're not gonna spoil too much for you. We're gonna go over the synopsis.
Yeah. We'll go over the some of the points. Most of the spoilery stuff we're going to save for a later show. That way you guys have time to go out and see it. Like we said on Facebook Live last night, go see this movie. It was awesome. I want to give, on the podcast, it was Devon, right?
Yep.
Devon was awesome. He's the manager over at Regal Cinemas, Interstate Parkway over in Akron. He hooked us up with this great
poster. Great
Wonder Woman
poster.
One sheet. It's the basically the one sheet poster you see in the boxes at the the theaters.
Yeah, when you're first walking into a theater, outside or even inside, it's going to be lighting up with the lights saying, hey, this is coming out this year, this date, and we got it. Summer 2017, Power, yeah. Wonder Woman. See it in real 3D and IMAX.
There was a couple of snafus, but they fixed them.
Yes.
The nice thing, one thing is, this is something I guess Regal does. And Devon said he doesn't like it because they did it to him before. With Beauty and the Beast,
yep.
And there was one other one, not just Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, there's a couple big movies.
We told you a couple weeks ago that if you go to Regal Cinemas, you get the cool 3D glasses. Well, we found out, no. If you go to the Regal Cinemas RPX theaters or IMAX, on preview night only, you can get the Wonder Woman glasses.
Right.
Now, for us, there's only four RPX or IMAX theaters in Ohio.
So
we could have driven 45 minutes to up towards Cleveland to go see it if we knew this was happening.
Right, we would have known ahead
but
of time.
No,
we would have
tell
did
us.
That. We just knew that it was a Regal. They didn't say exactly which one.
Yeah.
So we'll know next time.
Devon knew the whole story and he
broke
he
it down for us.
Broke it down and he was sorry about it and it was dude. I don't hold them responsible at all. He was awesome at the in the theater, but
good guy, really good guy.
He did, but I guess if you save up your Regal Rewards points, if you go to Regal Cinemas, they do have 3D glasses, Wonder Woman 3D glasses you can actually get with your Regal Reward points.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can get it
if
that
you want
way.
Those. See, I have a 3D TV at home, so
right.
I like getting the collectible glasses and stuff. It's kind of cool.
And you can keep them, you can rewatch them whenever
you want. Yeah, I have the whole set of the Force Awakens ones and that type of thing.
I remember you sent me some pictures of that. But
So, yeah, but that was awesome. And then there was a snafu with the 3D when they first... I didn't realize that there's actually a setting on the camera they have to flip to turn it into 3D.
It makes sense once we found out, but I didn't know that's how they get the 3D to pop up.
So
the film
for the first
itself.
2 minutes, we didn't have 3D at all. As soon as I went out and talked to them, they had it fixed and they restarted the movie from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
which some theaters, they can't don't do that stuff.
Right,
they
it's just
do
you
it.
Got,
it's
when
automatic.
You walk back in, that's all you gotta do. You see what you see.
Yep.
I was happy you were able to see it because at the beginning, I'm like, oh no, Ken's missing this. He
gotta
see
it. Yeah, there was some
was
important
worried.
Stuff at the very beginning that I should have, that I'm glad I was able to get back
mm-hmm.
and see. But the movie is awesome. You start. It does use the modern demigod take on Wonder Woman.
And they pulled this one off really well. I'm not going to get to too much spoilers territory, but this is common from the trailers. And if you guys read the
well, we can talk about the stuff that we bring out of the comic books without any details.
They did use her clay origin.
Yeah.
But they mixed in a little bit of what she's doing in New 52, like you said, being more of a demigod. They played that up because she was made from clay. She wasn't like every other Amazon
mm-hmm.
on the island. She
well,
was
she was the
different.
Only child.
And that's right. Now, when I heard that, didn't that sound like it was familiar from somebody else?
Huh, what are you talking about?
Man of Steel. Remember, he was the only one that was born that way. Now, different origin for both of them, but they were the. It was something about them being born as a child that was different from everybody
mm-hmm.
else. That's what makes them so good. And I was listening to Kevin Smith's podcast, and His partner, I can't think of his name, said his son, when they went to go see Green Lantern, he was trying to figure out what made Hal Jordan so special. I'm thinking with DC's route, what they're doing with making their main characters born this way and why they have this power and why they're so special, they might play that out through the whole DC universe, I'm thinking.
It's possible.
And we didn't really get a Batman movie yet. We don't know why Batman's so special being a human, too. I don't think they're going to do anything supernatural, but...
No.
His brain might be just a little bit more smarter than anyone else. But anyways,
well,
back
Batman has been trained since he was a child to do what he's doing. He's specifically trained to
depending on which
to fight crime.
Yeah, depending
he chose
on which
to
one.
Fight to well, in the current iteration of Batman, most of them he after his parents died. Remember, he decided, you know what, I'm not going to let this happen again.
Right,
and so he started training. From that age until he becomes Batman.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking more of his training when he went to the mountains. He did that when he got a little older. But depending on, I think that's which one you read. But that her being made of clay made her really different in the movie. And this is why, as you see in the trailer, she's able to clang her bracelets together. And she gets like this rage power coming from her. It's just like this optic blast that comes from there. We've seen that with Doomsday too, correct? In the Batman vs. Superman movie. Something similar to that, right?
Similar.
Well, this happened in here, and this shows you why. We're not going to get into how it happened. But as she's on the island, we see her as a kid, and she's growing up. Her mother did not want her to learn how to fight.
No.
At all. She was...
Well, that's because she didn't know she's a demigod.
Okay. No, that's right. She didn't know. She was
we
like,
all know this because it's Wonder Woman.
Right. And she's like, oh, I'm just a kid, and I want to train. I want to be like the other Amazons. And her mom's like, no, you can't really do that because you're different. They just keep saying she's different.
You don't know why.
Why?
But then you find out she's so much stronger, so much better.
Mm-hmm.
See, oh, Mike, I just saw on there, Mike's daughter Zoe got a pair of the glasses.
Oh man, tell her
they got one of those.
Oh man, tell her to cherish that. Oh man,
Mike, you gotta send us a picture. We'll put it up on our Instagram so people can see it.
Can you send that to us?
Get a picture of Zoe wearing the glasses and then send it to us, and we'll put it up on the Instagram.
Yep. Well, that's the only one we'll have of anybody we know.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Mike and Bart were both saying just now that remember this mainly for the Facebook Live crowd. That tomorrow at time of recording on June 3rd is Wonder Woman Day. You get free comics and stuff over your local comic book shop.
JC Comic Books, I just went up to, and he said he's going to have that, and so will Kenmore Comics.
Yeah. I think Kenmore had a free... He had something free. This is actually one of the ones you're going to get. Kenmore already had it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I need to stop by tomorrow if I can. I won't have time tomorrow. You'll have to stop by Kenmore and let me know what John has there.
Okay. And we got the tiara.
Yeah. So that may be the stuff, is the tiara.
I think Kenmore Congress already gave them away. They probably still have more there, too.
So go to your local shops tomorrow, though, and see what they have for Wonder Woman Day. They're probably going to be running specials on all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is mainly for the Facebook Live crowd. But everybody on the podcast, coming next week, I'll have Vernon will hit a couple of shops. There's like three shops here in Akron.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to task it to you. Kenmore, you're going to have to go to all three of them. And just see what they got, so you can bring back the report next week.
Okay.
Maybe do some Facebook Living from there.
Okay, do so. Take some pictures.
I'll be out of town, but
I'll get you covered. And plus, I always got my phone with me. I love taking pictures.
That's right.
But back to the movie, guys. She's on the island, and of course, we get to see she's training until she gets older. And this is where her mother start to have a little dispute on how they view the world and what she wants her to do with her life on Amazon, on Themyscira.
This is a point where actually... both origins that I know of for Wonder Woman
mixed
together because in this one, her mom does not want her to learn how to fight, doesn't want her to ever leave the island. In the original one, they had the tournament to see who would take Steve Trevor back to
America or
World of Man.
Yeah, World of Man, not America, just the
and
World of Man.
Her mom did not want her to enter the tournament and leave.
Right. Yeah, that's the one I was used to. I knew the clay origin, and we've been seeing this.
The original one was a clay origin also. Right. It's just this one... actually makes her a full-on daughter of Zeus, where the original one was just her mom made her out of clay and Zeus let her have the life.
As we said, a perfect mixture. But of course, we get Steve Trevor on the island, and he crashes there, and Diana saves him. Now, we've always seen that.
And actually, the change from World War II to World War I wasn't that big of a change.
No, it wasn't.
If you look at just heroes and villains in the wars, the villain was Germany in both wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the politics are different.
A lot different.
Other than that, if you break it down to just basic, it was the world against Germany, and that's both wars, and that's she was fighting Nazis. Instead of Nazis, she's just fighting Germans.
I would say the World War I was a little bit more hands-on.
Yeah. Well, you get the foxholes, you get stuff like that.
Yeah, and that was something they played really big in here.
Another one they did really well, though, also, was the whole fish-out-of-water aspect.
Oh, I love that.
She actually leaves the island of Themyscira, or Paradise Island, it's called both in this, and she has no idea how to deal, or what the world of man is like.
Yeah, the culture is just completely different.
Yeah, talk about it's great seeing the culture shock.
And that, since we're talking about that, I'll get into now the comedy of it. Now, this movie wasn't heavily based in comedy, but
don't give away all the jokes and stuff.
No, I'm not, but it was... it was definitely had some humor in there, and it was definitely a more lighter side of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Squad tried to touch on that and put it in there, but
it felt forced.
Exactly, it felt forced. This felt just natural. It's like, what would you do if you came from an island full of just Amazons and you come into man's world?
Yeah.
You're not going to know the lingo, the dress, the courtesies. And from her being on an island full of women, this is back in World War One day.
Yeah.
Women.
It was completely different. Victorian times.
Exactly. It was really funny to see her outspoken about this and seeing other women's reaction to her saying, hey, they were either appalled by her or they were going to maybe clap their hands and say, oh, this is the best person I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we're getting to this, I also want to just say Chris Pine did great. He was their secret weapon in this movie. I knew...
It did not take me long to get past seeing Captain Kirk.
Yeah, same here. I was like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be in the Starfleet. But Gal Gadot blew it out the water once again, but to me, she was my favorite part from the Batman vs. Superman movie, so I knew she was going to do good in here.
Yeah.
And she brought just life to Wonder Woman. I felt like this was a different take on Wonder Woman from what I read in the comic books, but still had the same personality. You still felt the same character development, but she just really brought Wonder Woman to what we need to see out of fans from a 76-year hiatus of not ever being on the big screen.
Well, the one cool thing of that was awesome was Vicky, my wife, and Jesse, our friend, were with us last night, mm-hmm. and they were talking after the movie, and they were talking about how they thought it was awesome that you could actually. This is the first time they saw a DC Comics film that they felt you could actually take the kids to and not worry about anything that's in it.
Yeah.
Even Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, some of the violence was a little bit
excessive. Yeah.
In this, there was plenty of violence, but it wasn't grotesquely over the top or mm-hmm. anything like that.
And it's same thing for Suicide Squad. The violence.
It was violent. Some of the there was edgy a lot images, of edgy stuff.
Yeah. That. So
they didn't go edgy with this, which is awesome.
No, they didn't.
They could have went very edgy. They with could some have, of the
but
stuff.
I'm glad they did not. There was no need for that in Wonder Woman.
And the one point where there was Steve kind of walking around semi-naked, mm-hmm. almost.
Yeah.
They did it with comedy.
Right. And that. And speaking of that, when you said the Steve Trevor that part. Did this movie just drew me back to a Christopher Reeve's Superman movie? Did you get that out of here?
This what do
that
mean?
Feel. Her being righteous for the way of being righteous, not just being forced to, like, oh, you have to be good.
Well, I think
she was just naturally.
Yeah, I think what that is just the way
a
the
good
DC Universe.
Character.
The way DC Universe puts it, does it right now, that Superman and Wonder Woman are two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
Where Wonder Woman is just as powerful as Superman and has a lot of the same ideas and stuff. Well, in this, at least, it looks similar. Kind of naivety and stuff like that.
And
in the comics, it's not as drastic.
And in here, as you've seen in Man of Steel, I'm going to have to rewatch this tonight, by the way. In the Man of Steel movie, from being what Jonathan Kent told him as a child, hey, the world's not going to like you, or they're going to be afraid of you.
Yes, John, we would notice.
Superman was afraid to be what he was. He embraced it, but he wasn't saying, hey, guys, I'm Superman.
Yeah.
I want to help people in this way, and I can't because my dad told me people might be afraid of me. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, her mom was telling her, something's not right about you. You're different.
Yeah.
But she's like, well, I'm different, so that means I can save these people. I'm going to go do this. She embraced hers to the full potential of what she wanted to.
I don't want to get too much into the war and what happens with that, because that's the main part of the true storyline that is unique to this movie. Dr. Morrow was awesome.
Yes.
General Ludendorff was cool. Dr. Morrow was Dr. Poison.
Okay. I've been calling her Dr. Poison this whole time, so.
So, and the villains are awesome.
Great villains.
And even the final true villain.
Yeah, the
awesome
final fight scene was pretty good.
And that you're going to get later on from us. We're not going to go anywhere near there.
And this was a completely better fight scene than what we got with Doomsday.
Oh, yeah.
It felt right. It didn't
feel
forced.
Don't go any more than
right.
that. Next week or the week after, we'll do an actual full spoilerific breakdown of the whole
and
thing
I'm
after we
not
get
gonna,
to see it again.
I'm not going to tell you any details about this, but the action scenes, there's a part in the movie where Wonder Woman comes out to be who she really is, just in her Wonder Woman costume, and she's going at it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they show some clips on YouTube, so I guess it's in too much spoiler territory, but you guys can probably find it on YouTube. I think they just gave you a little taste of it. It's better in theaters. Whatever they show you on anything that DC released, the theater is just going to make it so much better. I got chills, got goosebumps, seeing Wonder Woman with her shield and just going at it with the bracelets on. So, guys, go see this movie. It's really good.
Another one that I saw that I have on here, though, on the technological side.
Okay.
This was some of the best 3D I've seen in a
long time. I think they're getting better.
Yeah, well, each they movie. Should be getting better with it.
But something about Wonder Woman. But now you've seen Man of Steel in 3D, right? Or you have it on 3D.
I have it in 3D. Yeah.
Was that better? Or
I've not seen it in 3D for a while, so I got to go back and look.
Okay.
But it was similar to. It just seems like when the DC movies that I've seen in 3D, just they do really, really good at the 3D.
Okay, this is my only DC film I've seen in 3D.
Okay.
So I was really happy about the way they came out. Also, guys, just want to say another thing about the movie. It does connect some stuff with the rest of the DC Universe, but it takes away from Wonder Woman's story.
Batman v Superman, it seemed like they shoehorned in the stuff that brings up the Justice League.
Right, and it was kind of like,
why
why are they in the movie? This, it was more, hey, we remember what happened in you remember what happened in Batman v Superman? Well, okay, here's Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
That was it. Just,
yeah,
hey,
this was
you've seen it.
A Wonder Woman origin story.
And my girlfriend went with me to the movies, and she was asking what's going on at the beginning because she didn't see Batman vs. Superman. I was like, I think that's all they're going to show you.
Yeah.
And everything else is going to be a Wonder Woman movie. And it did. So Wonder Woman delivered. It was solid. It focused on what Wonder Woman should be. It didn't overly put in too much of the stuff from the comic books that didn't need to be needed yet.
Yeah.
It didn't put in too much from the Justice League movie
yet. The thing it did that one of the criticisms I've had with Batman v Superman, like, I enjoyed the movie,
mm-hmm.
but Remember we said it's like it had too many stories.
Yeah.
Too much going on.
Yeah.
This one, and it seemed like Suicide Squad, they went the exact opposite. It was too thin.
Mm-hmm.
It was very thin, just A to B to C to D, and you're done.
Yeah.
Well, this one was right in the middle where it should be. There was only one story, but it was fleshed out. All the characters had were actual characters. They were fully developed. This was the way you should do a superhero movie.
And we keep going into this deeper because there's so many good things about it. Also, the color. It wasn't like Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like Batman vs. Superman. It wasn't like Suicide Squad. And Suicide Squad, I thought, was the most colorful movie they had.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying everything needs to be bright, bright colors, guys, but if you're having a fun comic book movie, you don't want things to be just dark and
nice
grim.
The nice thing with this is every like time period or whatever you're in had a different feel. Like Paradise Island
was
bright, colorful,
very.
And beautiful, and it was paradise.
And once you went to London, as you've seen in the trailer, guys, it's like this gray, dank,
yeah, and then
grim
also out on the battlefield, you had
it.
the gray tones, but it wasn't. It, at night, everything like Batman v Superman, all the battles were at night.
Right, and there's a night scene in here.
There
guys,
is a night battle,
but
in this.
It still looks just it looks perfect. It just the colors flow very well. It's not too gritty. It's not too dark. It just hey, it's nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go back into the daytime, it looks just beautiful. And we're not. I had a connection to there, but we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
The ending of the movie.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, guys, I'm pretty sure everyone that's listening is going to go see the movie this weekend. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy it, and then you guys can come back and we'll talk to you about the spoilers.
Yeah, hopefully you guys are listening to this after you've already seen
it. And if you guys are live right now, next week we can just comment and talk about it, and we'll just go back and forth with you guys. But movie was great. It gets two thumbs up for me. I would give it a 10 out of 10. I feel like maybe I'm putting it too much, but this is the best DC film we've seen, in my opinion,
so
since the Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah.
As I said, I like Man of Steel, but Wonder Woman blew that.
My problem with Man of Steel was I didn't personally see Superman in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the original Christopher Reeve Superman was as close to a perfect Superman movie as you could get.
And that's how I felt
so
when I watched
it. It's hard
this.
To put Man of Steel up against that because it just doesn't.
Well, that's the crazy thing to me. Wonder Woman, as I said, I felt more was a Christopher Reeve movie from like Superman and had that ideology of this is the truth, justice, and the American way to do something and give you hope. And when you see this hero, you weren't afraid of them.
Well, hopefully, looking at this and hearing what we've heard about Justice League, the Justice League is moving in the right direction.
Oh, yeah, I think after Wonder Woman now, guys, whoever had doubts.
Hopefully
of
the DC
anything,
Comics universe is moving in the right direction.
My friend, I posted a picture of us in front of the theater. He was saying he saw the movie, or I can't remember if he said he saw the movie, he's going to go. No, he did see the movie. He said it finally gave him hope about the DC and the DCEU. So whoever out there was doubting
also,
it.
That open, the Justice League open for it. You know how Marvel has had a couple iterations of the Marvel Studios
logo.
Oh,
that's right. This
DC
we can talk about this.
Awesome.
This isn't even
big.
This isn't a spoiler. This is just
the
new logo.
Well, this is actually on YouTube already. If you look it up on YouTube, you can find it. And it's basically it's the Justice League themselves, shot of each of the Justice League members until you get to the DC logo. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I think it was not just a Justice League.
Can't describe it too much.
It was more. It's like
no, I think it was just the seven.
Was it seven
of the Justice League?
We only seen it once.
But it was cool because it's not the Justice League you're seeing in the comic
books right now.
Movie. It's actually had Green Lantern and some of the other ones in there, too.
And yeah, that's the one that really surprised me.
We saw Lantern. Well, we know we're getting a Lantern movie.
We do.
So what's
and
the
he's right behind you. I'm looking as you say
well, that's
that.
One of the rumors that we may still see Lantern in Justice League somewhere.
I'm hoping we see a Martian Manhunter and a Green Lantern. We don't, like I said, we don't need Martian Manhunter in the movie as on the team, but put him in there just because he's Martian Manhunter.
Exactly.
But yeah, guys, everything's connecting well. If you had doubts about it, go see this movie. I'm pretty sure that'll end your doubts. And we'll be going to see every other DC film that they put out, and we'll be coming back to you guys.
Well, also, probably next week, we're going to... Or you want to wait next week or 2 weeks to do the full spoiler?
Oh, we're waiting until next week.
Next week, see it by then. Well, you guys have 1 week. Hit us up, DCSuperPowersPodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, it's just DC Superpowers Podcast. Instagram and Twitter, or Instagram is DC Superpowers Podcast. Twitter is @SuperpowersDC.
And
let us know what you thought of this movie, and we'll read it on air when we're talking the full spoilers.
And thank you, everybody, that responded to me on my personal Instagram, Howlin' That Wolf. Everyone that has seen the movie, we were going back and forth. Everyone's loved it. There hasn't been one person that
said,
oh, I didn't like it. None of that.
Cool. So get a hold of us. Tell us what you thought. We'll probably read it on air so that we can get other people's reactions, not just us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually, we're still in the movies. Let's go ahead and, the one I said for Instagram, I'm actually going to bring up and we can talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
Because there's an interesting thing on this. Now, as soon as it brings up this, there we go. The company is, Golden Link Europe. They put out, they make a lot of the, if you go to the theater and you get your popcorn bucket, it has a movie on it or something. They make that type of stuff. It's basically all your merch for the theaters. And they've put out an actual full description of everything that's available for the Justice League movie. The interesting thing is, Superman is all over this stuff. And as of right now, he's dead.
Right. So let's just let you guys know he's coming back.
They're giving spoilers before the movie. I mean, we already know this.
Yeah.
And we've seen him in we've seen it in other promos and stuff, but it's like, dude, come on. As far as everybody knows, Superman's still dead.
Oh, and that's one thing we might not know yet. Where's the black suit?
Well, that's if we get the black suit. I don't think that was ever confirmed yet.
It hasn't been, but I'm hoping we get a black suit somewhere. But from what these I just want to say no spoilers.
Yeah.
But if you guys want like movie buckets,
Well, it says here that the range of items that are available
Aquaman
to keep moving is they have drink toppers. Like, yeah. Do you remember from Star Wars? You were not old enough, but did you ever see from the Phantom Menace?
I have one upstairs.
They have the Taco Bell. Yeah. And all of them had the little thing.
I gotta show you my Yoda upstairs.
Okay. Well, I have all of them at home, so I know what it
jealous.
Is.
Jealous. Do you have Mace Windu too?
I believe so. I don't think Mace had one.
Did not have one.
No,
okay.
Mace didn't have one.
I thought he did.
But they have drink toppers. Where are we at? There, drink toppers, cups, popcorn buckets, tin tubs, and water bottles, all available for this movie. Now, not every theater is going to have these. Each theater chain, I think, orders certain stuff.
Okay.
So, you never know who's going to have what. But it features all of the Justice League, including Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg, and Superman. So, I just found it interesting that Superman is front and center on all this stuff also.
And he's supposed to be dead. Yeah. But we all know he's coming back. We know he's going to play it, but I don't know how big of a role he's going to play in the movie, but from what they're showing here, he's going
to
be.
Well, once the show posts, you're going to have to put some of these pictures up on Instagram and on Twitter.
Will do.
And Facebook. How do you do all three of them? You do all our picture stuff.
Will do.
So we need to do more stuff on those on our social media anyway.
And but yeah, so guys, go to the movies and you have a good time with Justice League.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's time to throw around some rumors. What do you think?
Yeah, now these rumors are just going to be fun, guys. This could
None
happen.
This is not
it
spoilery.
Could not happen. This just take this with a grain of salt, guys.
This is not spoilers because none of this is confirmed
at all. But this has been floating around the internet. A couple of these, and of course, this is from Reddit. So
Reddit thread put it out. Cosmic Book News is the site I got it off of, and they just basically put a bunch of the stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there is a black suit Superman picture on here.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was real or not.
That's not real. Fans been putting
you
that
sure?
together. Yeah,
oh, someone color corrected it?
Yeah, I mean, look at the cape.
Yeah. Someone color corrected it is all it is.
Matthew Vaughn has been offered, this is a rumor.
Well, these are from Reddit and then 4chan also.
Oh, and 4chan. Well, there you go. All these different websites.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Vaughn has been offered The Flash and Man of Steel 2. Matthew Vaughn is more interested in The Flash.
Now, this actually kind of goes with what we had last week. Where we talked about Matthew Vaughn and what's his name?
The other director.
Yeah, that they were both looking at. Warner Bros. Looking at them for Flash. So this one may actually hold some water.
Okay, so
now also I don't know Man of Steel 2. Last I heard was still Scott Snyder.
Yeah, now I'm waiting for another Man of Steel. That was the other thing I was gonna say from seeing Wonder Woman. How many years has it been now since Man of Steel came out? It's been about a good 3 years, right?
Something like that.
I'm still waiting for a Man of Steel 2.
Well, that one, according to the thing, it's going to be after 2020.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of other stuff they wanted to put in there.
I'm glad DC's going the right route now, but I feel like if they were trying to build up a universe as the way they wanted to, I think it would have been better if they would have made a Man of Steel, then made a Wonder Woman. Suicide Squad, then Wonder Woman. That's my opinion, though. But speaking of sequels, Wonder Woman 2 has now been discussed for months in detail online. It already has been written, they say.
Warner
Bros.
Is
waiting to see how Wonder Woman 2 performs at the box office this weekend. We think it's going to go pretty good. But Wonder Woman 2 is supposed to have the villain of Cheetah playing from a big female actress, and is also said that Chris Pine will not be back for Wonder Woman 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
like
that.
Said, this is another rumor.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure what's going on. Cheetah would make sense.
Yeah.
Because I've not read a lot of Wonder Woman.
But everybody knows
but
a Cheetah.
If you think of Wonder Woman, Cheetah's the villain you think of.
Right.
So
this
one may or may not. It says the outline's already been written. I believe that. That's actually, they have story treatments that they're sitting, they've been playing around with for years. They always do.
And that's the thing. Sheeta probably is a write-up of it right now, but we don't know if that's all going to change.
The next rumor is regarding Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam movie.
Which we've been, that's been in limbo for a while now.
Yeah, that actually wasn't even on the list when they released a couple last week.
Now.
So, but it says, the rumor has it, Black Adam was not supposed to appear in the Shazam movie, but after discussions, Black Adam will just not be the main antagonist of the Shazam movie, but he will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually makes sense. If you know Shazam at all, if you know Captain Marvel, Black Adam is an integral part of the creation of Black Shazam.
Oh, Shazam. Or Captain Marvel.
He was one of the original Shazams.
Right. He was there before
Billy
got all his powers. Because
Billy Batson was not the first Captain Marvel.
No, he was.
Exactly.
But he went rogue. He went bad. Mm-hmm. He started thinking himself as a god, and he became an antagonist of that whole story. But over time, he started to become more of an anti-hero instead of just a villain. I still see him as a villain, but I see him as a Sinestro villain, in my opinion, because Sinestro, me, will never be anti-hero. That's kind of how I view Black Adam. Sorry, guys. I just do.
Well,
but his motives, I can agree with. Mm-hmm. So.
So, yeah. Black Adam is, that's the best way to describe it. He's like Sinestro.
Yeah, and aren't they like best friends in a story arc?
The next rumor we had here, though, was Superman is expected to cameo in Shazam.
Okay.
With Shazam said to be heavily inspired by Geoff Johns' New 52 comic book run and the First Thunder comic. Now, First Thunder, I'm not familiar with.
I'm not familiar with that either.
Maybe it was a one-shot. I'm not sure. Actually, you want to look that up real quick? This one, I don't know if it holds water or not. Depends on how tight they want to put this into the DC universe. Because you think all the DC Comics movies so far, other than the original Man of Steel, has Bruce Wayne somewhere.
Yes.
Or Wayne Tech or something like that.
And see, I was going to say,
this is a universe inside of everything else. So it could be that Superman shows up. I don't know.
When they said Superman may show up, and as we said, we've had our little issues with this, but that book.
So Superman Shazam First Thunder is the one they're talking about. I don't know about that. This is a Shazam origin story. Now, I can see them inspiring on Geoff Johns' New 52 run, because Geoff Johns is president of DC Pictures, and he's helping write a lot of these stories.
I was also going to say that was one of the better things in the Suicide Squad movie was the Batman cameo.
Yeah.
It was in there enough not to over-accessorize the movie, like, hey, this is a Batman movie, but Batman is a good part of that story, and with Captain Marvel and Black Adam, Superman does appear in a pretty good amount of the books in there, so I can see him having a good role in there. Just don't make it about Superman as much.
That's the problem. You put Superman in there, and it's going to be about Superman.
Hopefully they can get a good percentage in there and just lower it a little bit so we have a good amount of him.
Like you were saying with Suicide Squad, the stuff they used Batman for was right because it was in the origins for some of these villains, and they are Batman villains.
Right. So it Batman fit really is involved well. In it. Even at the end of it, where the Justice League and Amanda Waller for Suicide Squad, and we know what just happened in books with that, they do work very close-knit with each other, even though they don't like each other.
So, the next one is actually back into Black Adam. It says, the solo Dwayne Johnson Black Adam movie is said to not have a writer or director as of yet, and will most likely be released after 2020. I can guarantee yes on this.
Let me ask you, Ken. Do you think that Black Adam should have his own movie?
I don't know. I don't think it should have his own movie to start with.
I don't think so either.
If they use him as the villain of Shazam,
and if it gets popular enough,
the way it probably should be.
Right.
Well, is Savannah still a character in Shazam right now?
His wife,
Dr. Savannah.
Billy's
uncle.
Evil
uncle.
I don't know if he is right now, but he's been featured so much they're going to use him whenever we get these new.
If they don't use Black Adam, he needs to be the villain.
He's going to be in the books, I'm sure.
Yeah, he needs to be the villain. If it's not Black Adam, but if you read the Power of Shazam from the 90s, they were both the villains.
That's what I'm thinking. They can use both of them. They can do that, right? Mm-hmm. I was going to say, even in Man
of
Steel, we had...
I say 100% this is correct. Because they hired Dwayne Johnson when they got the chance.
Oh, yeah. And he looks just like Black Adam. If there was anybody in life, I would say, who I think is Black Adam that's walking around right now, it would be The Rock.
Yeah. So, but this one, this one holds water. The next rumor...
Oh, now this is good.
The Green Lantern Corps movie was considered for a 2018 release... But it said that David S. Goyer's script still needs work, and the VFX and motion capture would take a lot of time.
It's 2017 right now.
Yeah. It said Green Lantern Corps will feature multiple colored cores and their leaders such as Larfleeze, Atrocitus, and St. Walker. I would love this one to be true, the last part of that. Well, let's break this down. There's a lot of stuff in this one.
Yeah.
It starts off that it was considered for a 2018 release.
That's not happening.
Well, no, I'm thinking they were thinking about that.
Okay.
They originally wanted it for a 2018 release. But then the second half of this, where it's going to take a lot of work to get the... I believe that probably is true also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second half of this...
With the Larfleeze.
I like this story, but I don't...
I would love that, too.
Well, what it is it depends on who they put in there. Because what was the problem with the last
Green
Lantern
movie? That's what I was just about to say.
Too much stuff, too complicated.
And we had a... That was the origin of the Sinestro Corps trying to be.
Yeah.
And that was the problem with
it. But it was also... Parallax. It was also what's the villain? The Earth villain that was in that one?
Hector Hammond.
Hector Hammond was there was too much going on.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking in the first movie, trying to jump out and make a good impression with Green Lantern Corps, if you put in all the different colors, you're gonna get very complicated.
Confusing. Yeah. Now they can start off with just putting one in there, and this is just an idea for
it
me.
It would probably be Sinestro Corps.
Don't do that. We've seen what happened in the first one. Don't do Sinestro Corps yet. Introduce St. Walker.
Possibly.
As an ally, but don't heavily show him
or
too much.
You do your regular, the Green Lantern Corps movie you have idea.
Okay.
And then maybe you modify Blackest Night. Because isn't Blackest Night where they introduce the colored corps? The different colored Lantern Corps. What was the story they did that introduced all those?
Oh, man. It might have been Blackest Night.
Was it? Because I know Blackest Night affected all the colored cores.
I don't know. I can't say for sure. I don't know.
I don't remember because I wasn't reading back in the 2000s. Because when I started,
I was only reading a
when I stopped
books,
reading in the 90s,
was really
there was
Titans
still only one Lantern.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Because when I stopped reading, Kyle Rayner was the only Lantern, and Guy Gardner was Warrior.
Okay, and that was early 2000s,
late
90s.
Mid-90s is when I stopped reading because I just couldn't afford it then.
Understand.
So this one, I'm thinking the first half of this is 100%. Second half is maybe.
I will say also, let all the other Lanterns be... I know this might be stealing from an idea, but the way Marvel used the Infinity Stones. Oh, there's different Infinity Stones.
Yeah, where it's just
mentioned here or there. Just mentioned, hey, there's different
Lanterns. Maybe in another book, in other movies, too. Just a small little thing. Like, maybe see Carol Ferris in something.
Mm-hmm.
Or you see a little bit of blue light.
Or something like that. A mm-hmm. red light, something. Just say, okay. Hey, there's these other Lantern rings out here. Like, you need
to
watch
out for
those.
The three they mentioned here, Larfleeze and Atrocitus could be awesome on screen.
Oh, they would be.
Larfleeze, you know how funny that would be?
Mine. I would love that. Put a little comical spin with that character. That would definitely
work. Larfleeze is all comedy.
Yeah.
And I love his Lantern Oath.
Mine.
It's the easiest one to remember.
It really is. That's why I can only quote that one in the Green Lantern.
Okay.
Next one, though.
The next one is... You want to read it through it, or you want me to read through it?
I'll get it. David Ayer. So, guys, this is David Ayer comeback and Margot Robbie for Gotham Sirens movie. It said that Warner Bros. Would top the choice released in the second movie in 2018, with Warner Bros. Waiting on a film of Gotham City Sirens in July or August. Catwoman and Poison Ivy haven't even been casted yet. It is said that Joe
Edgerton
will top choice to play Black Mask.
Now, Black Mask would be an interesting villain for this.
I think he would, too. He's a perfect fit for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Killer Croc. He's not the Joker.
Yeah.
He's Black Mask. He's a
boss. You never know. Well, talking about crime bosses, there's a lot of rumors out there I saw this week that Josh Gad is making a play that he wants to play Penguin somewhere.
Oh, I did hear about that, too.
Penguin might be a good fit for this movie.
Penguin...
Now, I don't know the story behind...
I think Penguin might even
Sirens.
Be better for this movie because of everything with Catwoman.
Okay.
And also with Harley Quinn. He hates the Joker. That would be perfect for him to be the antagonist for them.
Yeah.
And Poison Ivy, if he's doing something that she doesn't like for a plant life, maybe.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the beginning of this one again. It says, David Ayer and Margot Robbie's Gotham City Sirens movie is said to be WB's
top choice
for the second release of 2018. I don't know. That would put Midsummer 2018. That's one year from now.
Yeah.
They could do it. They did it with Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad, they started filming a year later. It was out. And we saw some of the problems with that.
Yeah, that's why I'm making that
face. You need time
face.
To get this done. I don't even know if they have a full script yet.
I think Warner Bros. Right now, as I said, Wonder Woman was great, but everything else seemed like they're lining up this year besides Justice League for next year is just like, it's a rush. There's no way you can get all this out.
Same thing we've been saying. They're trying to build the universe ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Marvel did, and they took their time.
Yeah, well.
And they built.
With DC, after Man of Steel, after Batman vs. Superman, after Suicide Squad, and what we're getting this year, we got Wonder Woman and Justice League. The universe is already built up, guys. Yeah. You don't have to. Take your time.
Yeah.
We're okay.
We haven't know what's there.
As I said, we haven't seen a Man of Steel movie for like 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Take your time. We'll wait. but then there's another one here for Justice League Dark. Now, this we've mentioned.
Well, hang on. Let's finish up. We talked about Catwoman. That's pretty much all of that. So I'm thinking this one here, I think originally it was their choice for 2018.
Okay. And like you said, this is
but
rumors, guys.
I don't
guys.
Think they're going to do it. Yeah, this is all rumors. That's why we're saying yes or no on these. Poison Ivy, Catwoman, if they've been cast, obviously they've not been, no one's told us. And then Joel Edgerton playing Black Mask, that's a crapshoot. We don't even know if Black Mask is in this.
Yeah.
So this one's all speculation.
But next we have Justice League Dark, which we've been mentioning for like the past 2 weeks, somewhere in the news.
Well, also, if I remember right, going back, I gotta go look at the show notes from last week, but we already found out when they want to put out Justice League Dark.
Mm-hmm. Without the director, we don't know.
Yeah. Hang on just a second. We'll keep going on the... We'll read what it says here while I look up the...
Justice League Dark is said to be another possibility for 2018. The Justice League Dark script is ready, and Warner Bros. Is looking for several directors following Doug Liam's departure. So, I guess it's in the works. The problem, I think, that would happen here... I believe this one. I really think this is true. The only problem is still, as we said before, without a director, what can you do? And also, when it seems like... DC gets in more movies with Warner Brothers and the director leaves. It seems like they rewrite it so much for the new director. It's not going to be the same script anyway.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen with that. As once again, it's another movie in 2018. I don't think it's going to happen in 2018, but this is the rumor mill.
Yeah, I'm bringing up the list of what they had as DC Cinematic reboots their lineup. Aquaman, Sirens is supposed to be 2019, so we know that one, that rumor shot down.
Okay, that sounds better.
2019 was supposed to also be the Batman and the Dark Universe movie in 2019.
So, no 2018. As we said, this is the rumor mill, guys, so take with a grain of salt. Uh-huh. We already proved that they were wrong. The next one here
I do believe they probably do have a script ready for this.
Oh, I think...
But that doesn't
they
mean
had a script when Del Toro
script.
Was even in the works of. They had something together, but it changed. This could be the same script for all we know, and they haven't tweaked it. We have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But
the next one is an interesting one.
This is Joss Whedon's Batgirl movie. It may have an appearance by Jared Leto's Joker, who would most likely appear in a flashback scene.
That's another crapshoot because we don't know anything about the story.
We could have came up with that one.
Yeah.
There could be a flashback scene for her dad and her as a little girl. That's a flashback scene. I don't know when this is taking place.
She could be shot in this. Oh,
she
wow.
could be an oracle. She could be in a wheelchair right now in a flashback. So I think it's the worst one out of all of them.
Yeah. I got the Batgirl story. It's Oracle doing a flashback of when she was Batgirl.
There's the movie.
See,
there
we go. Right, it writes itself. Some of these, you know, it's like, what in the world are they talking about? The next one. Maxwell Lord, Scarecrow, and Bane were discussed as possible villains at some point for Suicide Squad 2. That's another one that, okay, let's just throw... more. You take all the villains out there and say, okay, who do we have available? Let's see. We have this one. You've discussed them.
Yeah.
Come on, try a little at least.
I'm seeing Maxwell Lord. I'm thinking the only reason they put that there was of what happened in Suicide Squad comic books recently.
Possibly. Or from the Supergirl TV series.
Or that.
Which, I'm wondering, where is Maxwell Lord?
Oh, that's
and
right.
And Sam Lane? They have the Megahedron, and they've already been researching a year.
Yeah.
They took the Megahedron and disappeared at the end of season one.
Yeah. So
General Lane is out there with Max Lord and the Megahedron.
We'll come back maybe for season three. Or four. Who
possibly.
Knows?
The next one. The Matt Reeves Batman movie is not expected to begin filming until at least late in the year this year. That's another one that's like, okay.
This
one's supposed to be released in 2019, that works.
Yeah.
That one's probably true.
Now, this one, I can believe a little bit more, too. The story of Justice League 2 is said to be heavily inspired by Jack Kirby's work and also Geoff Johns' work on Darkseid War, with the characters like Orion and Mr. Miracle being discussed. I can believe that just because of what's going to happen in Justice League 1.
We already know, as of right now, they're still calling it Justice League Part 2.
Right.
As a working title.
Mm-hmm. For now.
So, in order to be Justice League Part 2, that means it's got to be a Part 2 of the story we have now. We know this story is Steppenwolf and the Parademons, so Apocalypse is part of this story.
And as this is something I just don't understand. I mean, Justice League's been around for so long, you can pick anywhere, but this story of Justice League is focused definitely on the New 52.
Yeah.
They went in, immediately Justice League pops up, and it's Darkseid. And then the biggest story seemed to be after that was them going back into the Darkseid War, and that's when we started to get
And that's what actually what led up the Darkseid War, which I need to get that trade, because that's what actually leads up to the
Rebirth right now. So I can see that happening, and then they can give us another story somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So that's the rumors that they had put here. Some of them make sense. Some of them are way out in left field, and just, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I can give another shout-out, though. Kevin Stoner's out there listening, a friend of the show, Kevin. Thanks for listening, buddy. So that's all of those. I think we've actually at the end of our news stories for this week.
I think so, like I said,
it's a light news week because of Wonder Woman being dropped. Now, there's going to be a lot more Wonder Woman news next week.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be so many connections of things we missed.
Unfortunately, since we record on Friday, today's the official opening day for Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't actually... A lot of the... jury's still out. People are... I mean, the critics, for the most part, are...
The critics, by the way, guys, this isn't a Man... Man of Steel even got some pretty good things. It was a little iffy, but it was better than we got from Batman vs. Superman, and it was better than we got from Suicide Squad. And ever since the Suicide Squad movie came out, we were like, wait a minute, is this going to be a good one? Is it going to be bad? Are critics going to like it? Are they going to hate it? And it was a back-and-forth battle.
Mm-hmm.
This, critics seem to love it. This has... What's the score right now on Rotten Tomatoes?
I know it's way up there.
Actually,
I can look it up here. IMDb?
They've got it like at 2. Or not 2, I'm sorry. 8.5? 8.2, something like that. So somewhere it's really high. Wonder Woman was great. Critics like it. Fans like it. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing it up now as long as the Wi-Fi is working right. Which it may not be.
Uh-oh.
Can't be reached. Hang on, let me try it again.
I'm going to try it. Look, it was already in my Google research. Wonder Woman.
Okay, so Rotten Tomatoes actually has it, and this is, for a DC Comics movie, this is
very
unknown.
Very, very high.
Rotten Tomatoes has it 94% fresh from all the critics, 93% audience score.
Yep.
So everybody is loving this movie.
It's really good. No spoilers, but oh man.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy only has 81% right now.
Ha! We beat Marvel!
For once. And that's not the finish, but...
I'm going to gloat about this.
Top in the box office right now is that, or that's where we're sitting, but actually, I'm just curious anyway. Let's check out Box Office Mojo. Let's see where Guardians is at right now. Oh, Guardians is at... Oh, no, that's the Thursday box office. I want the overall for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Here's the whole thing.
The domestic gross right now for Guardians of the Galaxy is $800 million. It's only $345 million domestic. So opening weekend was $146
million. Okay.
So Wonder Woman's got a long ways to beat Guardians on that.
Yeah.
But it's a great start for them. And that actually brings us to the end of our news and such today.
Well.
But we have four books to go through on our previews. Or our reviews. Now this is comic book reviews. For May 24th, 2017. And there was a couple of honorable mentions in here.
There was some
great
honorable
mentions.
Check
out Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. I'm not going to spoil that one because that's an interesting finish on that one. It's the finish of their Prism of Time storyline.
Did you have a feeling at all of a family connection, though, somewhere as you're reading the story?
Well, a little bit because the villain looks a little like... he's the same race as Sinestro.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but Justice League of America had a reference back to old Justice League International. And this has Ryan and Killer Frost, Adam and Killer Frost, in the Metahuman Museum, or the Meta Museum, trying to investigate how to cure Killer Frost.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Well, part of when they're talking... is, let me see if I can find the right page, because I read it digitally to start with, but I have the comic in front of me here. Next page still?
Yeah.
Wait, maybe not that one. Where are we at? Because I got to get the actual...
Wasn't that?
No.
So it might have been before.
Yeah, I was looking at it, I think, when you told me to turn the page.
Skip back one more. I think it's one more. Dang it.
One more back.
There we go. That's it.
Yes. And they found in the Meta Museum, the Museum of Unnatural History is what it's called. And they went to go see Dorrance the Glacier Boy, this guy that was frozen in the glacier, this baby. And listen for the reference here. Ryan's answer is the striations, the growth patterns in the ice where they found him, with him, he was their focal point. I think the glacier grew around him, out from his body. He could be an ancestor to the same Norse folk as Ice from the old Justice League International. Now, anybody who remembers the old JLI and Fire and Ice, that's an awesome reference. Hopefully, at some point, we'll see them back.
Yeah, just from hearing that.
So, that's just an honorable mention of something that was there. And all the other books I read were awesome. I'm going to have to go back and start reading Blue Beetle. Because I read Blue Beetle, and there was some awesome stuff in there. Yeah, you told me you really liking what's going
on in there. And there's a big callback to what he's wearing.
Yeah. Yeah, somehow I missed it that Jaime Reyes doesn't have the Scarab anymore. And he's wearing Ted Kord's old suit. So he looks like the old school Blue Beetle, which is awesome. But let's go to the ones we are reviewing. And the first one we're going to do is, we don't usually do Batman Beyond, but there's some huge stuff at the end of Batman Beyond right now. And we're doing Batman Beyond number 8.
I wasn't expecting this because from what I've seen from the TV show, they were not connected like this. But this is connecting.
So, but the storyline we've been doing is Rise of the Demon. And this is part 3 of it. Now, Kirari is a Batman Beyond villain. She's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. She's actually involved in this. We have Bruce Wayne is... now, Terry McGinnis has a brand new suit in it right now. And it's got a lot of extra red accents. And what it is it's actually older than the suit we know as the Batman Beyond suit.
Right.
This was a prototype suit that Bruce had made for him to wear when he was starting to lose his ability to be Batman some. So it has an artificial intelligence in it that if something would happen that Bruce would not be able to do something, the suit would do it for him. So, and it would take over for him. The problem is, the suit doesn't have an on-off.
Mm-hmm.
It's, no matter what, it's going to do what it thinks Batman would do.
Which, hopefully save his life.
And that actually...
But still a little scary.
Well, the problem it was having is, Bruce was having was that as you're wearing the suit, you start to lose your own free will, I believe it is.
Is that why he was, well, it wasn't something Batman would do, but if it felt like he also needs to protect him, it will protect him.
Yeah.
But... To get in the story, this is dealing a big with Ra's al Ghul right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
We find Ra's al Ghul is still alive.
Yes.
Now, which doesn't make any surprise anybody.
he's going to be here, I think, till the end of time. What's the guy's name? They used him in Legends, the first season. Why? Vandal Savage.
Yeah.
Ra's al Ghul and Vandal Savage will always be on this earth. Mm-hmm. But they want to go to the Lazarus Pit. Now, this is where Bruce, of course, being Bruce, and he's telling him, you got to deal with Ra's later. Whatever they're dealing with now is going to be way more important the moment. But
yeah, he says that Ra's will wait.
Yeah.
You need to get back here and get that suit off now.
Yeah. This is what's really important right now.
Well, Kirari, Barbara Gordon, and Batman are on the roof of the Gotham Police Department, the new Gotham Police Department.
GCPD.
It's NGCPD.
NGCPD.
Neo-Gotham, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they're discussing the battle they just had with the League of Assassins. As this guy, Koru, he's the demon's right hand, attacks them. And basically, he's, I believe, pretender to the throne. Yeah. He notices that, wait. You're not Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not Batman because we've dealt with Batman before. So basically, they're fighting enough to get... I believe it was just to get Terry to leave, to take off after Ra's al Ghul. What are you doing?
Oh.
You're supposed to be helping out here, man.
Dealing with that. Someone... We have guests, maybe. As he's flying up there, of course, he's going to get a little bit of help because this guy, he knows he's... He doesn't know he's Terry, but he does know that this is a different Batman, and he's now set his sights on him.
Well, then we get Koru and Kirari fighting. Batman jumps up on Koru's ship, which automatically locks down and starts flying him away.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, wait a minute, I gotta go back and help. Says, Bruce, and then in his headset, Bruce sounds different. And something says, I am not Bruce Wayne. And the suit starts talking to him.
Yep. And ensures Batman succeeds even if there's a man, Batman has to succeed even if the man inside cannot.
Exactly. So that just what they expected, it's starting to take over.
Mm-hmm. Has a mind of its own.
Then we get a flashback to, why Bruce built this suit. Mm-hmm. And his health was failing because he's just old.
And people will die if someone does not help, but he had to take it upon himself to try to make the suit good enough to keep him able to be the true hero he is. But Gotham had to survive. It needed something better. It needed something with light, quick reactions so he could develop this combat suit, and it was programmed back. And also it helped him with the pain, and also helped him... change a little bit of his judgment to make sure the job got done.
Yeah.
Which is scary because Batman usually knows what's best. And then this was a great little, I don't know if it's a ninja team, but picture ninjas on Venom. And then you got these Banes.
Yeah, it was a gang of Banes.
This was awesome. Now that's scary. You have gangs of everything in here, but it made sense. I mean, Venom, they just had to make it enough in the future where anybody can use it. And we've seen that even in the cartoon. But this is what he was going against, and this is where he was. They were fast, they were deadly, but unfortunately, they still was going up against Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Now they did break his ribs, and that wasn't even a problem because of the suit.
Well, the problem is that the suit doesn't take into effect that the body inside of it is being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So he had broke still his leg, pain. He broke his ribs and stuff, but the suit wouldn't let him stop.
Right. Picture just moving like that, guys, with broken ribs. The suit's controlling you. But he said in 14 minutes, he suffered 2 cracked, vertebrae, and without even knowing it, this should have been where it was like his last stand, but it wasn't. The suit kept pummeling and pummeling and pummeling. And this is a pretty graphic image. This is the Batman suit with the red eyes and the red light around it. Pummeling Bane until it was over. This is where Batman or Bruce Wayne rips off the suit and says he can't take that anymore. He doesn't want to do damage to himself or anybody else that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the suit off and that was gave it up.
And that was the last case that he ever worked because he could not do it anymore after that. He just physically couldn't do it, which, you know, crushed him.
Yeah.
Which is why you get him so crotchety and angry mean
and mad and just bitter.
So, and this was Bruce telling it to Max and Matt, which if you know Batman Beyond, Max is Terry's best friend.
Yeah, and then and Matt is his little brother.
Which in this, I've been reading this since they brought it back. I'm waiting for Matt to find a Robin suit.
Oh, yeah.
Maddie's going to end up being Robin. Man. You know he is.
Yeah. Looking at our... Well, I was going to say we're going to get our own, like,
but that's in the
Dick Grayson
that's
Damian
in the future
in this.
From here, yes. But you find the two of them still talking to Bruce and saying, we got to get Terry back. Well, Terry's locked into this...
suit. He's not any locked in a suit. He's locked in this pod.
Car or pod or whatever. Flying off into the... the mountains.
Yeah, there's the snowy mountains of somewhere.
Uh-huh. And someone actually says... pops up in the snow and has a rocket launcher or something and shoots him down. Fortunately, the suit protects him.
Of course.
And he ends up landing. And it looks, if you know Nanda Parbat from Arrow or from anything else or from comic books, it's what this looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they've gone to the lair of the demon. Then we go back and we see, Bruce was, the whole time Bruce was telling them, I gotta go get him. I have to leave. And they're telling Bruce, you can't do that. Bruce is not able to do this anymore.
He's not going to listen.
Well, he says, okay, we're fine. Go upstairs and then, okay, well, let's make some, we'll make tea and go back down. They turn around and the Batmobile just took off.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce is leaving. The thing is, Bruce knows what Batman's going up against.
Yes, he knows exactly how to take, well, at least
Batman
protect him.
Wakes his way through the temple, takes out all of the League, everybody there.
And it doesn't matter who it is, he's just going through them.
And then he sees Ra's at the top of the steps.
The demon's head.
With the demon's head mask on. The two of them fight and then fight. And then you get a view of Bruce saying Terry has no idea what he's going up against. And they're fighting. Batman eventually knocks the mask off.
And then they just look up
that... Ra's al Ghul is not Ra's al Ghul.
No. He is a Ra's al Ghul. He's not a Ra's al Ghul. He is a al Ghul.
But it's the face of an adult Damian Wayne. So at some point, Damian Wayne is now Ra's al Ghul. He has taken the place of his grandfather.
Perfect. Now I can put this picture out on social media because this is just too awesome.
So we have a new Ra's al Ghul. It is Damian Wayne. So that Batman Beyond, like I said, I've been loving this book so far.
Yeah, I can see why.
So,
That was a good issue.
But, wait a minute, let me switch over here. But the next book on our list is, I think we got to go with Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Suicide Squad and Action go together this week.
Yes.
And remember what we said about the Batman Revenge Squad
mm-hmm.
in Action last week, or 2 weeks ago. and how they would need Zod.
Right, and Zod, we all know, is stuck in Belrev Penitentiary.
Exactly, and we have, and we were wondering, okay, how is she controlling Zod? Well, I read Suicide Squad last week, and it is. You had actually mentioned this, mm-hmm. Vern. What, like a kryptonite bomb? Yeah, she stuck. Amanda Waller put a kryptonite bomb in Zod's head.
Well, what other way can you control a Kryptonian?
Exactly.
But as we're going to discuss in this book, whatever Amanda Waller does with these bombs and people's head, they always comes back to bite her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're in Belrev Penitentiary, and as we've mentioned a while ago, Rick Flag and Harley Quinn wants to start up a
Yeah, they're slowly starting a relationship. Well, they're not kind of going as slow now as they were.
No, they're in there now.
So they're having their relations.
And as this is happening, Zod is looking in the mirror saying, Waller thinks she can control Zod. Putting a bomb in a Kryptonian's head, I'll show her.
And you guys have seen pictures or things of Batman or Superman shaving with a mirror in his heat vision. Well, Zod decides to do his own lobotomy to remove the Kryptonian.
You know what?
Bomb
this was in a movie.
Head,
this was an animated
bomb.
Movie.
What, this part?
Do you remember Superman Doomsday, the animated film?
I have it at home. I have not seen it in a while.
Well, you know, when Superman came back to life, really, only Superman was a clone of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like Luthor implanted some type of tracking device or bomb in his head, a bomb in his head too.
Okay.
And Superman was like, wait a minute. I don't like this bomb in my head. Let me go to the beauty salon. Goes into the beauty salon, walks in there. Larry does the exact same thing in here, but we didn't see it. All you heard was people saying, So I'm assuming this is exactly the same thing that happens to Superman in that movie. We get to see it in this book, guys, if you remember Superman Doom. He gives himself a lobotomy, and this is the grossest thing I've probably seen in a comic book in a long time. And the funny thing is, I'm going to go here and let you guys in on a little
but
detail.
Here, I'll put it in. Rick and Harley are having their relations.
Yes.
And Zod is screaming.
From pain of giving himself a lobotomy.
And the next panel you see is Harley's, wow, you're a loud one, Flag. And Rick says, wait, that wasn't me.
Oh,
and then all the alerts go off.
Yep. And it's like,
and Zod breaks out of... Zod breaks out of the out of his cell and drops the kryptonite bomb at
right by Amanda Waller.
Amanda Waller's feet. It says straight up, "You cannot control a Kryptonian."
Mm-mm. As Zod's brains are basically hanging out of his head right now.
Yeah, he's not quite.
He needs some sun.
Yet.
He really needs some sun.
The problem is, he was you see later on in the book that Zod is a tactician. He was the leader of the Kryptonian armies.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks tactically ahead. Like six steps ahead.
And this is where Amanda Waller starts to beg for her life, saying, I didn't think you were actually going to get out of that. I really didn't think you were going to do that. And he says, of course, no one can hold me. And this is where we get a boomerang flying right into Zod's brain that's hanging out. Really gross. And he's saying, show yourself. And it turns out, of course, it's Captain Boomerang that threw it. And he says, that's for when you disintegrate me and blowing me off my feet a while ago. But, you know, that doesn't mean that it should be worse than what it is.
Now, remember, the Black Vault from the beginning of Suicide Squad Rebirth that they found him in is here in Belrev also.
Right. Now, this is where Zod is now at this point just pissed off at everybody. He's been stuck in the Phantom Zone. You guys put me in there and you put a bomb in my head. And whoever comes in my way, well, he's General Zod. He's going to mess you up. Well, he's been inside the Phantom Zone for so long. This kind of reminds me of the Eradicator. But before we get there, we see June Moon trying to stop Zod because she has magic. And we know magic is weak to Kryptonians.
A weakness of Kryptonians.
Zod straight up tells her, you shut up, human. You're still human that I can kill.
Yeah.
Just part of you is magic. And this is where he brings out that he's been to Phantom Zone for so long. It reminds me of the Eradicator. He's bringing out souls from the Phantom Zone and using them to attack the Suicide Squad.
Well, this is not the first time. These are actual Phantom Zone wraiths, which we've seen before. We saw in Smallville. They had an entire season about the wraiths from the Phantom Zone. So Zod has just released a bunch of the wraiths. The problem is, the Suicide Squad, how are you going to fight ghosts?
The only one that's doing anything, any harm whatsoever, is Katana, and that's because of her
the soul stealer. Or the soul sword. But I love Killer Croc. One of the things he says, ghosts, Kryptonian ghosts, can't eat ghosts. Croc is a great character.
Yeah, he really is. I like what they're doing with Croc. I was a little iffy when I first seen all this, but I'm loving him. Well, as Zod is trying to destroy everybody in Belrev, there's a hammerhead that comes right behind him and smacks him.
Exactly. And this was, remember,
I forget the name of this team.
On here, but the Russian team that they were fighting against
in, like, issue 3 or 2,
they finally beat. And this was the only one that survived.
And
I don't remember his name.
We see him
off
at the very beginning. I can't remember him either, but he's thinking about a peanut.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the way he talks.
I know.
Every time he talks, his thought bubble has, or his speech bubble just has a peanut in it. So, I don't know.
I love it. It's funny. I thought about the
Looney
Tunes.
It's a Suicide Squad thing.
Yeah. But anyways, now Zod just, as I say, he was pissed off before. Now he's beyond that point. He's ready to just kill whatever. He says, and Zod shall give an order. He just, his laser beams just really go everywhere. They're not even in a straight line. They just go everywhere. Yeah. It hits Flag. Harley sees Rick get hurt. They think to themselves, we really are in a lot of crap right here. We got to fix this because we're all going to die.
Well, then, Boomerang jumps in and says, well, looks like you guys got this covered. I'm going to step out. And as he does, from above his head, you see, here, you below. He says, oh, crap, more of them. Mm-hmm. Thinking it's more of the Wraiths. You look up. No, it's Cyborg, Superman, and the Eradicator.
Just what they needed.
Yeah.
Next issue is Oh My Zod.
Exactly. And this one leads directly into Action Comics 980, I believe. Let me bring it up as soon as it comes up here. And you actually have the physical issues in front of you. I'm actually reading the digitals.
I love the physicals.
I love the physicals, too. I just have access to the digital right now. So, but go ahead and start on that one. And this one here, out of all the covers from the books this week, this one here
stuck me
because... Basically,
Zod has been
hitting the gym. He has done all of his squats.
He's been in that phantom zone.
This man does not skip leg day.
He does not skip leg day. Guys, the best way I can put this, if anybody remembers the picture of, what's the guy's name that's playing Superman on the Supergirl show right now?
Tyler Hoechlin.
Tyler Hoechlin. When that picture was going around, when it was like, oh man, Superman's been hitting squats. Well, this is what Zod's been doing too.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is funny.
But this one starts a little bit before they reach Bell Rev.
Right, this is a little bit of a prequel. This is Hank Henshaw, Cyborg Superman, talking to the rest of the what is the team again?
The Superman Revenge Squad. Now, in Supergirl, mm-hmm. we got Zor-El was Cyborg Superman.
Right.
And he looked okay. But no, this is the classic Cyborg Superman from the 90s. This is Hank Henshaw's Cyborg Superman. He looks like he came right out of the Death of Superman comic.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Reign of the Superman.
And of course, they're all bickering right now, trying to figure out how they're exactly going to show the demise of Superman. And they're coming with a plan with Blank, the Eradicator, Metallo, all of them. They've got some tricks up their sleeves here. And now we go back to Metropolis City, and we see Clark flying around. And he goes back home, and of course, he's going to be the father figure he is and the husband that he mm-hmm. is. He makes sure his family's okay. And every time I see any panel of him just being, he's normal.
Yeah.
He's just trying to be normal with his son. And
his son is normal. He is not happy about moving.
No, he is not.
Remember, we talked about this in action last time, that how they were like, well, we need to move back to the city. They found this apartment that's awesome. John does not like this apartment for nothing.
No. I figure he wouldn't because it's like, well, it's in the city. It's cut off.
Yeah, all of his friends are back in back on the farm. Everybody he knows. He doesn't have to hide anything on the farm.
Right, and exactly. That's the thing. It's like he's in a little apartment. He could be free. He could literally fly up if he wanted to, jump real far, catch a ball as Dad throws him, and bring mm-hmm. it back. Well, here, he can't do anything.
Well, the thing with here, as Superman's flying back to the apartment, you get the internal monologue of he knows that Blank and the Eradicator are the ones that... Blank, Eradicator, and Mongol are the ones that broke into and destroyed the Himalayan Fortress. So he knows that and Blank and Eradicator know he's Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to get the people he loves to safety.
Out. Right.
Well, what's the safest place to be other than an apartment that no one knows is there yet? So he basically goes back to tell... The whole purpose of this is to tell Lois, don't leave the apartment.
Mm-hmm. Stay here.
And he's like, I'll take care of the problems. Don't worry about that. There's a problem, but I'll take care of it. Nothing big, but you can't fool Lois. Lois knows.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows enough not to push him also. And it's like, okay, we'll just stay here. Well, then you get up to the Watchtower, and you get Batman and Clark. Batman and Clark. And they're looking, and Batman's like, well, anything I can help you with? He's like, well, it's Mongol, Eradicator, and Blank. He's like, well, that's kind of interesting. Do you need help? He's like, well, I think I can handle it. I just need the scanners to find out where these guys are at.
Right.
Because the Eradicator gives off a unique energy signature.
Now, isn't it just funny how Batman has so much faith in him? He's like, do you need help? And it's like, no, I got this. Okay, well, you're Superman.
Yeah.
And then they pull up this image of where everybody is, and they're tracing it, and it turns out they're in Bell Rive Penitentiary.
Yeah, that's where all of this is at. No, that's where Eradicator's at right now. So Superman's on his way to Bell Rev. And then from there, you see the Eradicator and Cyborg are trying to break into the Bell Rev, which is being covered by the Black Vault.
Mm-hmm.
And the Black Vault doesn't affect the Eradicator.
No.
But Cyborg Superman, it's trying to drive him nuts.
Right, because he still has a mental...
And it goes to his history, which is the classic history where he was... This was a ripoff of the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And that's not new news.
That's old news. Yeah, that's classic.
He was on the space mission. They got eradicated.
But their story was a lot more tragic than the Fantastic Four's.
They didn't become superheroes. They all ended up dying except for him.
Mm-hmm. And they thought
he
was dead.
Technology.
Right, and they thought he was dead, but he was not. His brain just went to another host, a cyborg host.
Yeah.
And that's how we got Cyborg Superman.
So, and this is basically, that's what the vault is showing him. It's driving him nuts. The Eradicator doesn't have any of these problems because he's a synthetic being.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we get, they're into the vault through, Superman's flying to Bell Rev, and he hits there, and all of a sudden, same thing. It starts disorienting him. He can't figure out which end is up, basically, and then he sees his parents' grave. You get, these, like, zombies of Martha and Jonathan Kent.
Just like some of the Scarecrow
grab him by the throat.
Him.
And then all of a sudden, no, he's finally broke through, and the Cyborg Superman has him by the throat.
Mm-hmm.
And thus the battle begins.
And they go back and forth for a little bit, showing each other's powers. Mm-hmm. Eradicator steps in, even. He gets thrown into Cyborg Superman. And they're getting this weird mental... mind trick done to him.
Well, yeah, they're still fighting inside of the Black Vault.
Yeah.
Or the Black Vault is like
a security
shield around.
Shield.
Right now, it's a shield around Bell Rev.
They have to get through there to get to Bell Rev.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're stuck in here and it's messing with their mind. Eradicator and Cyborg Superman do get away, but Superman's still stuck in this weird limbo. And he's hears people telling Clark, "You could have saved them. You could have saved all of us. You failed us." And it's everyone that he loves, from Jimmy Olsen to his son to his father back
to Lois, to all of them. And it's basically, they all look like zombies attacking him all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get next crushed by the abyss. And that was the end of that comic. We have one more to do. And this one we've been waiting on because
this is the
Lazarus Contract Part 3 from Deathstroke number 19.
This was a
And you
great...
still couldn't find this one, could you?
I could not.
See, I had to go in my comic shop and order this one and Titans.
I'm going to have to order. I found Titans.
Okay.
I find this one?
Well, Titans Annual I actually had to order also, too.
Oh,
because that one sold out.
Huh.
And that was sold out everywhere. I checked at Kim Morgan and he said he couldn't even order anymore.
I got it from JC.
Huh.
Well, you have this one, I have the other one.
That's right. Well, we start off, we know at the end of the Lazarus Contract, it was the Teen Titans last week.
Mm-hmm.
That Deathstroke now has the Speed Force.
All because of Wally.
Because he stole it from Wally. Or
Kid
from
Flash
Wally. He stole it from Young Wallace.
Young Wallace, okay. I'm going to call him Kid Flash Wally.
Well, we got Flash Wally, older Wally, chasing Deathstroke right now. And
this
was
great,
Comics,
too. This is a great panel.
Well, Deathstroke Comics breaks it into like chapters almost with titles.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's called Taxi.
And this is where Flash Wally and Deathstroke are running. And he's saying, "I never made a deal with a killer." Deathstroke said, "Well, I find that to be very untrue." Now, the reason why I'm saying never made a deal with the killer is because of what happened with Dick Grayson. We still don't know yet what deal Deathstroke made with Nightwing, but it was something. And all the Titans, even Batman, probably went, "You know what? I take that back. Batman would do this if it was going to benefit him or he had no other choice." And that's what it seems like maybe Nightwing was leading to. But as they're running in the city, several cities probably at this point, he says it was a matter of stealing the right technology Dr. Derwin once created, and it helped control the Flash's powers. So I'm using it right now to restore and store all the cells that I stole from Wally. Now, this is where we go to another chapter, is the deal. Now, this goes back years to explaining what happened with Dick Grayson and Deathstroke in this deal. Dick Grayson was still Robin.
Well, this is back to the Hatton Corners Titans headquarters was the original one from the 60s.
And this is a year after Grant's death.
Yeah.
From what happened previously in the first, mm-hmm. which was the first book we had. Was it Titans? Yeah.
Yeah, the first book was Titans.
And that's where it showed the backstory what happened to Grant Wilson. Well, Robin's on his Robin motorcycle, and he's getting splattered with bullets from Deathstroke. And he says, children, all these heroes, they get these orphans and they let them loose on society. Not safe.
Yeah.
And you're getting a little old for that costume, Robin. I thought that was just a little funny how he said that. But he says, I've come here to kill you, of course, and I have assumed my son's contract from Hive after you, after the team killed him. He says, no one killed Grant, that happened to himself, and we already know that. But he says, I'm making you an offer you cannot resist. He says, now this was really good, because I do remember in the mid-2000s when Nightwing, he took on like this red persona. He wasn't the red Nightwing that we seen from New 52, but he did take on this different type of look, and he was wearing red instead of blue. And Deathstroke told him to make sure his daughter is trained correctly, and then that's when she started to join the Teen Titans. So I thought, I don't know if this was still a same callback or this saying this did happen in the universe. I don't know, but there is a connection between all three of them still, which I thought was really cool.
Okay.
He says, I only learned of my daughter's existence, and she recently lives in New York. And this is Rose Wilson, guys. This is Ravager, the second Ravager that was a part of the Teen Titan team in the 2006 and 2008 days. He says her mother was killed in an accident, and she's looking forward to moving in with me. And, of course, that can't happen. With him being Deathstroke, he doesn't want any more kids coming in his life, especially after he just lost his son.
Yeah.
And he tells him she needs some combat. And Robin asks, does she need combat training? He says, oh, please, I just kill you, punk, if you even try to do that. He says, but no, she's not going to try to follow your path, and so why are you here to kill me or stop if I protect her?
Well, no, he says Deathstroke does say, no, she doesn't need combat training. No. She needs your values.
Right, and
He doesn't want her following his path.
Right.
She wants basically Robin to teach her how to be a hero.
And that's, as I said, went back to what happened earlier in the book. So I'm guessing this is still canon of what happened previously.
Well, this is where we get the actual reference to what the Lazarus contract is.
Yes. Now, this Lazarus contract is agreement with Hive into the Lazarus contract, which means it can be brought back to life even after one of them fails to keep their word.
So basically, the deal is Robin teaches Deathstroke's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches Rose.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then Deathstroke's side of the deal is he does not try to kill the Titans.
Right.
Now, this his contract with Hive, which is, the contract with Hive was to kill the Titans. So the contract could be brought back to life if either one of them decides to not follow what they were told, what they were trying to do.
I'm just really, you know how you say you guys was getting those callbacks from the one we read last week with Nightwing and Kid Flash?
Yeah.
This is what I'm feeling right now when I was reading that today. I was like, oh man, that's really cool. They're bringing that back. Because that's when I got into Teen Titans, was that my era, and I had to reread everything else. But that was when I was buying
from
combos.
The Judas contract? Is that what you're
talking
about?
No, just the Rose Wilson, the 2005 to 2008 comic book run they have to like Titans. That was really my childhood. So I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
But now they're somewhere, it looks like in Alaska, or somewhere cold, is Kid Flash.
And they're still running.
And they're still running. Or no, I'm sorry, not Kid Flash. The Flash, Wally, and Deathstroke. And he's saying, I admit all this chaos that you have. I forgot how you even were able to blank out my own son dying, because this is going back to Rebirth.
Yeah.
When Kid Flash was gone, everything from that happened with Kid Flash was erased. So he forgot about his own son's death. He's saying, I don't know how you did this, but it happened. It may be because of the Speed Force. And he stops, and they stop him in their track, and he says, the difference between me and you is I'm a trained assassin, and I have speed like you. Mm-hmm. You're just fast. When what's the fastest man alive without his power? So he runs the other direction. He says, oh yes, that's what I thought. The next chapter is Confession. This is where Nightwing tells the whole team of why this all happened.
And it's both teams, the Titans and the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we're trying to now figure out Deathstroke and Flash went. Where are they? Wally might be the only one to stop him, and he would be the only one to have the powers to do so. But the other thing is, Kid Flash, and I love this, because as I said, Wally, I don't know why you thought this. You should never, ever help a bad guy. You should know. So Damian just lays into Kid Flash and tells him, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have never gave him your speed. You trusted him. He's like, well, he said he wanted to help his son. He says, you don't trust Deathstroke. All he does is manipulate people. Trust me. And plus, he's a bad guy. We don't ever trust any bad guys. You're an idiot. And then Kid Flash goes away, and he's upset. And as he's running,
he starts to run, thinking he's going to be able to just take off for a while.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
No, he goes back into his civilian clothes. He falls in the water.
Yeah, because remember, the newer version of the Flash suits are actually created by the
Speed
Force.
Right.
So he uses up what little Speed Force is left in him, and the suit disappears, and he's in his street clothes again, and he falls in the water.
And that's when Aqualad picks him up and tries to help him out. And once again, Damian's still going at it, and they're like, okay, ease up on him. He made a mistake.
Yeah, that's when Nightwing comes in and says, dude, relax.
Yeah, we know he messed up. He knows he messed up. Let's let him now deal with this, and maybe we can figure this out later, and you two can bicker later, but now we gotta find out where the Flash is. The Flash, now this is in another chapter, The Good Son. Yes. This is Jericho on a rooftop in a suit. At first I thought this was Constantine for a hot second because of the way he's dressed, but this is Jericho. Wally runs up to the roof and said, I ran...
This is where Wally ran to from when he ran away from Deathstroke.
Right. And he said, I told myself dying out the middle of nowhere means that I could maybe change some things that forever for the greater good. He says, the truth is Deathstroke tortured me and my head was still shaking from all this, but he had to make a choice. And he said he also humiliated me. This is where Jericho shows him on the phone, says Jericho can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Wally in text message, no one is fearless. Dying to prove you're not dumb is dumb. How can I help you?
Yeah.
So he says, tell me about your father, Jericho. And then this is where... Now
the next couple pages are rehashes.
That's what
of
I thought from the Deathstroke Rebirth. Yeah. You know, so, they probably played all this into it just because they knew where they were making this.
A little bit. So we get the first one is the kids going on a camping trip with their dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's Grant and Jericho, Grant and Joe. And Grant decides to leave, so Joe and Deathstroke go the other way. Next one is when the boys are a little older, Wintergreen comes to pick up Deathstroke to go on a mission, and their mom and Deathstroke, or Slade and their mom, have been upstairs.
Doing the usual.
Yes, having their relations. And then it's basically just showing the relationship between the kids and their dad, how there really wasn't one, and their dad was not a great father.
Yeah, and Grant's always the one to seem to walk away from him. And this is where...
Jericho was the good son. Grant was not.
Yes. And this is where he says, going somewhere, son? And this is where Grant looks at him and says, I didn't know you were out here. Why are you here? And he's like, to pay the
he's
rent.
He's running away again.
Right, he's like, what do you want me to do, pay the rent or something? I'm leaving. He blows smoke right in his son's face. He's smoking a cigarette. And he tells him, you want to hit me, don't you? Well, go ahead and hit me. I'm giving you one chance to do so. Just be a man about it and hit me.
Yeah, if you punch me, you can walk away, no problem.
Yep.
I won't chase you.
And he does. He says, shut up, and he punches his dad. And he says, that's seriously the best you got? Well, you hit me, so you know what? You're free to go. And this is where a car comes in the street. And I can't tell if it hit him or did he just jump up in time with quick reflexes. I don't really know.
He lands on the roof.
Okay. This is where some... party kids is ready to party are in the car and they're not paying attention on the road, of course, and he says, what are you doing on the car? He's like, where are you going? To a party. He's like, well, perfect. So he gets in there and he's gone. He doesn't want to be with his dad. He wants to just live life at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Next chapter is 60 seconds and it's Chicago. Someone's dead.
El Domingo.
Someone's dead. London. Someone's dead.
Then they show you Madrid. It's like a open wheel race car that Deathstroke ends up crashing.
Yeah, he runs right by him so he can keep up with it. And it seems like he's assassinating people.
Yeah.
The next one is The Visitor, and this is where in Wintergreen, this looks like current time, Wintergreen has
he's going to visit Rose in the hospital.
Right, with roses in his hand. And he says,
He says, it's about time, and the next panel you see, it's Deathstroke, or Slade, sitting beside Rose's bed.
His daughter, because he hasn't been there once again, a bad father.
Yeah, and Wintergreen asks, okay, where have you been? He says, well, I've been clearing my calendar. The doc says Rose is going to make it. So basically, we just saw was every contract he had out, he took care of in 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we get Damian and Nightwing, they apologize to each other. I love this right here. Where was this?
Well, no. Yeah, Damian assumes that Nightwing is apologizing to him, and that's as far as it goes.
But it was kind of sweet, though. I said, there really can't be any light between us. You understand what I'm saying, right? We're brothers. We have to be on the same page. Both of us, both our teams must work together is all. So, okay, I agree. Apology accepted. Whatever. I just like the whole, we're brothers. We got to stick together. Your team, my team. We'll do this. We'll get over it. Now, this was... I'm confused here now. This is next panels with Wally contacting Damian and Nightwing saying, I'm okay, everything's fine, it got a little nuts, but you can rest easy. Now, they're on the phone talking, and Jericho is in a slate? What's going on here? I'm trying to figure out how to describe this.
Jericho's actually talking through the phone.
Okay.
Now that he's in the suit, actually they have the phone on, and it looks like basically, mentally, he can control the phone or something, and the phone starts talking.
Like... maybe I'm being a bad Teen Titan fan here, but last time I remember Jericho, I didn't know he could do phones. I just knew he could do other.
Well, there was no cell phones the last time I saw him in Teen Titans.
You know, last time I seen him, there was cell phones, but I don't think they were that. They didn't think of that highly advanced in the future.
Yeah, well, that's where they got this figured out now.
Okay, that's what's going
on. Could he fly then too?
That's what I'm saying. This is new. This suit, everything he's wearing, that is not Jericho that I'm used to. He looks like that. Looks like Deathstroke's suit, but Jericho's twist on it.
Kinda, sorta. But we find out that...
Which would make sense, I guess.
Where are we at?
But he's letting them know everything about Deathstroke, how they can maybe take him down. And he spoke about being terrified and humiliated by him. But that sums up their childhood. He didn't really have a good one. And but Deathstroke was approved. You approve of Deathstroke, and you don't seem to be like him at all, Jericho. You're different. And this is when we go back to Gravity, and this is where, well, Deathstroke's finally taking a break from running. He's drinking his water, staying hydrated, and he's just going through the motions right now and saying,
Well, he's talking on the phone.
Oh, yeah, he is. Okay, I just thought he was drinking water for a hot second. We don't know who he's talking to yet, but so he says
he's talking to Sherwood.
Is that who he's
talking to? Sherwood?
Yeah. Where is that?
At the very beginning.
Oh, man, I missed that one. Well, my bad.
He says that he does... this is the guy that designed his uniform, and he's supposed to be there, and it says, it's a gravity sheath, whatever that means, but it says, Einstein's theory says gravity can be bent, or gravity can actually bend time. So ramping up the Icon suit, which is a gravity sheath, the point defense system, while moving near light speeds, ought to do the trick. Vectoring toward New England Hatton Corners. So and he starts taking off straight down the street. And you see a streak, and then a streak, and then all of a sudden he slows down, and Ravager comes walking out of the woods.
Startled.
Looks like he's traveled through time.
And I think that's what he meant to do in the beginning. That's why he went all the speed force.
Why
he wants to change everything he's messed up.
That's why he was asking about it, too.
And that's why he was showing Wally, this is the pass, and this is the pass, and this is the pass. I know exactly where to go when I do get my powers from you. And he did so. So the next one is the epic conclusion, Teen Titans Annual, issue number one.
And actually, they don't even call it the Teen Titans Annual. It's actually the Teen Titans Special number
one.
Yeah.
I found out once I got it, I was a little confused there. And that's a long read, but we'll have the end of the Lazarus contract for you guys next week when we cover that comic book. That's a long one, and that's going to be a big story.
Oh, yeah. And so that leaves only one thing left to do today.
We got
to
take a visit to a shop somewhere.
And that song means only one thing. It's time for us to take our weekly trip to the comic shop. And this is our comic shop pull list for... I don't even have the date down. It was June 7th, 2017. And remember, as always, the comic shop pull list is brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook and Instagram. And check them out at theshazbots.com. Let them know the DC Superpowers podcast sent you. We actually, starting off, we have 10 books this week that are coming out for Rebirth.
Mm-hmm. These aren't annuals no more.
These are
a little sad about that, but we're back to normal.
So, we start off with Aquaman, and it is Aquaman number 24. The Crown of Atlantis finale. Hopelessly at odds with the people of Atlantis, Arthur is finally stripped of his crown. In his place, and to Aquaman's horror, the previously imprisoned Atlantean fundamentalist, Coram Wrath, is installed as the new king. Every step of Aquaman Rebirth has been building to this. The art is being done by Wayne Foucher and Scott Eaton, and it's written by Dan Abnett. And actually, we have a brand new, we got a preview of Aquaman 25, right, that's after this, that has a brand new art team on it. And it looks beautiful.
Oh, you showed me that, and it looks amazing. It flows very well with what's going on underwater. It's perfect. I really love it.
You'll have to put
it.
Up some of the images, possibly.
Yeah, and if we have... That's a big size. I can see if we can do so.
Yeah, see what we can do.
But next on our list, we have Batman issue number 24, Aftermath. Gotham City is a peace...
Right.
Gotham City is at peace, but a war is coming. Now, that sounds about right. Armed with a terrifying knowledge gained from the mysterious button... Batman prepares for the new coming storm, but it's making a proposition of one of his enemies one will change everything to Dark Knight and his allies. Art done by Danny McKay, David Finch, and it's written by Tom King. So now we're going to get back on schedule with Batman after the whole story. I wonder what's going to go on in The Flash, too.
Yeah. I'm wondering if this, maybe in this one we'll finally figure out why he knows that Tim Drake's alive.
Maybe. Or he might wait. I feel like they'll wait a little bit longer. Not going to give it to us yet.
I just want
to
know how he knows.
Maybe Dr. Manhattan gave him a little knowledge.
I don't know. Possibly. Well, next up we got Cyborg number 13. Danger in Detroit Part 4. Still recovering from his boom tube time loss, Cyborg continues to discover the changes with his friends, Star Labs, and the city. A new player known only as Firewire emerges from Detroit's underworld. This ninja has a sword with the ability to distort time and space. Only with the help of Black Narcissus can Cyborg hope to survive Firewire's disorienting attack. Art is done by Tony Cordos and Alan Jefferson, and it's written by John Semper Jr.
They're getting really far with that Cyborg there.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Deathstroke issue number 20, The Lazarus Contract Epilogue. As Deathstroke picks up the pieces of his life following the dramatic events of last month's Lazarus Contract, a threat years in the making boils to the surface when an old friend becomes a mortal foe. Art done by Carl Pinglian and
Pigliana. Pigliana.
Larry Harmon.
Oh, Larry Hama. He's been doing comics for eons.
I gotta do some research on this guy.
Yeah, you gotta look up Larry Hama.
And it's written by Christopher Priest.
Larry Hama was one of the original artists on G.I. Joe back in the day.
Oh, okay.
So,
and I got a couple of those upstairs.
If I'm right, hang on, let me look it up. Well, I'll get the next one, then I'll look that up. Next up, we got Green Arrow number 24. The Rise of Star City finale. The Ninth Circle's plans for Seattle comes to its horrifying conclusion as the city is reborn as Star City. Okay. Sponsored by Queen Industries, it's the first privately controlled metropolis in America, and Green Arrow's worst nightmare. How can Oliver Queen fight back when his fat cats literally own the city? Or when the fat cats literally own the city? The answer will shock you in this stunning conclusion. Art done by Juan Ferreira? And written by Benjamin Percy. Now, this is interesting that they're actually, instead of Star City being separate, they're actually saying, you know what, Seattle is now Star City.
Yeah, and I, by the way, this art's really, really awesome. And if you get each book, it connects with the red streak going across each one. Now, next one we have on our list is Green Lantern's issue number 24, Lost in Space Part 3. As their training on MOGO comes to an end, Jessica and Simon prepare to reunite and head back to Sector 2814 on Earth. But the new partnership between the Green Lanterns and the Sinestro Corps may mean reassigning new partners. Art done by Matt Santorellani and Carol Barbie, and written by Sam Humphreys.
Okay.
Now, the next one is... You've been following this one. You've been having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
This cover is a little everywhere, too.
Yeah, Larry Hama was one of the guys that helped create the G.I. Joe comic books back in the 80s.
Okay, I was trying to pull up one here, but I'm having some internet difficulties.
He did a lot of stuff for Marvel back in the day. I didn't know he was still actually doing art. That is awesome.
Good man.
The next one is Harley Quinn, number 21. Harley has been awesome.
She's been the comedic relief book, I feel like, each time they put it out. Yeah. It's just everything in DC Rebirth.
Well, we get Harley Quinn, number 21, Red Roses, part 1.
Oh.
Red Tool is done waiting for Harley to take him seriously. The poor sap's hopelessly in love with her, and it's time he made his move. Unfortunately, he picked a moment of peak distraction for Harley. And in the backup, Harley Loves Joker, Part 5, Harley crosses paths with an old pal, Jenna Duffy, the crook known as the Carpenter. There won't be much palling around, though. Jenna's convinced Harley's trying to scam her out of one of the biggest scores of her career. Art by John Timms, and is written by Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor.
And next on our list is Nightwing issue number 22, Blockbuster Part 3. Blockbuster returns to Bloodhaven, has rocked the foundation of the criminal organization, and Nightwing stands in the middle of the chaos. Nightwing has to stop Blockbuster from achieving his goal, but does Bloodhaven's newest villain have a plan to remove him from the equation? Art done by Marcus Tau and written by Tim Seeley.
Okay, we got two books left. We start with Superman number 24, Black Dawn part 5. The Man of Steel faces the one foe he refuses to fight, his son. An emerging new ability for Superboy proves deadly to Superman as the promise of power appears to lead John Kent to betraying his father. Art done by Jaime Mendoza and Doug Menk, and is written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi.
And the last on our list, we have Justice League, issue number 22, Only Human, Part 1. Aliens live among us. Sometimes they're refugees from war-thrown planets. Sometimes they're hidden. Sometimes they're on our world's greatest heroes. Superman. But fear and prejudice has threatened their lives when an anti-extraterrestrial group closes the borders around Earth itself. What is one of Earth's movement? And how can the Justice League exist when all aliens are outlaws? Art done by Alakir Abnett. Fandango Pasarian, and written
Fernando
by Fernando Pasarian, and written by Brian Hitch. From just reading this, I'm thinking what they're saying is Superman's going to be an outlaw, and they're going to have to do something with him. But it's Superman.
They've done that before.
Yeah, but this is Superman.
And this is still just hitting for me.
Yeah,
I think it's come down to Brian Hitch's writing. I guess is the only thing I can think of.
I'm loving Justice League of America. Yeah. I've got every issue upstairs, but I fell off on Justice League.
Yeah.
Maybe if we do get some more, a different writer. It's just, I don't know.
Something about it just isn't hitting for me. So, but that brings us to the end of another episode.
Yeah. 59. Next one will be 60.
Yes.
Man, we came a long way.
Super Friends, thanks for taking this ride with us. This has been awesome. Like we said, go see Wonder Woman. It's an awesome movie. It's probably the best DC movie they've made to date for the new DC universe.
Yeah, I agree. This is the best one in the DCU because the Christopher Nolan films were not a part of that.
Exactly.
And I compared it to how good that one was, but this is the first one we've had that's been doing this well on an opening night.
Exactly. And then, actually, this, for me, I would put it probably close to, it's not going to beat the original Superman the movie.
No.
But this is a close.
Oh yeah, and now isn't that insane to say something like that? So I think over time we have had our final now big three. The Superman movies were good, and I love the Batman Begins movie and the Dark Knight. And
see, now, I like the original Tim Burton Batman.
They were great too. Don't get me wrong, they were great. But I don't think they never got nominated for anything for like an Oscar or something like that.
I don't think so. Not for those ones.
So we the top three DC heroes have been really good in some form or another with their movies.
So, Super Friends, like I said, thanks for hanging out and taking this ride with us. Remember, hit us up on all the Facebook, Instagram, the Twitter, on email. Let us know what you thought of Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I think it was next week we're going to be sitting down to talk about it. Full spoilers. So, it'll probably be later in the week.
Yeah.
We'll probably record, I was thinking, maybe Sunday night.
Okay.
Sunday afternoon.
You guys will definitely have time.
We will let you guys know. The Facebook camera died on us a little bit through here, but we'll get that fixed for next time. But also, we're still waiting to hear from you guys if we should switch from Facebook or stay on Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different live ways to get this out to you guys. Let us know what you actually would watch live.
As we say, we got a couple of responses, and thank you guys for that. We haven't got any more, so if you guys can check us out, and I'll post another one if you guys just want some updates. If you just scroll down your timeline, it's like, hey, I haven't seen that since last week. I'll post another one. Let me know what you think.
Okay. Well, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of us and how they can tell us what the best live places is to see us and what they thought of Wonder Woman.
Guys, hit us up on our social media. For our Twitter is @SuperPowersDC, and then it's DC Superpowers Podcast for our Facebook and our Instagram. And also, thank you guys for being on my personal one for our Instagram, Howlin' Out Wolf. For my Facebook, I'm Vernon McWayne Moore, and for my Twitter, I am VLO.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter @GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also find the show on the Tangibound Network at tangiboundnetwork.com and the server home of DC Superpowers Podcast at Weebie Geeks at the Weebie Geeks Network, WeebieGeeksPC.com. So, and with that, Vernon, thanks for hanging out with us.
Always.
Super Friends, thank you for hanging out with us for this show, and we'll see you next time.